kind of a vision casting time yesterday. And just want to thank Esther again for providing that meal for us yesterday morning. That was really, really good. And I'm telling you, that was worth coming just for that nice breakfast. And so we do thank her for that. Thank you, all those that attended as well. We also were in Lloydminster. Pastor Tim Acey has retired from the church in Lloydminster. And so we were kind of part of that to give him our congratulations and extend our congratulations as part of our section. And just thanking him for his service to the church and to this area. So rather busy day yesterday, but here we are today. We're going to make this one a busy one too. That's good. There's good things that God is doing, and so we do rejoice in that. I want to share with you this morning in this message. They do need some time to get ready, and so I'm going to give you the message. So John chapter 4, verses 34, 38. I want to talk to you about the harvest. Basics of the harvest. And we've been doing a lot of basics of late in our church and just kind of looking at various things in the scriptures, which are really should be basic knowledge to us. And as we realize that, we sometimes also realize that it's not basic knowledge to us. And so that's why we're kind of going through those things. But this one here is going to be about the harvest. It's harvest time in the natural around us, but it's also a harvest time in the spiritual realm as well. So John chapter 4, 34, 38. Then Jesus explained, "My nourishment comes from doing the will of God who sent me and from finishing his work. You know this saying, 4 months between planting and harvest. But I say, wake up and look around. The fields are already ripe for harvest. The harvesters are paid good wages, and the fruit they harvest is people brought to eternal life. What joy awaits both the planter and the harvester alike. You know this saying, one plants and another harvests. And it's true. I sent you to harvest where you didn't plant. Others have already done the work, and now you'll get to gather the harvest." Well, this morning I just want to share with you for a while just about some of the basics of the harvest. That's a term that Jesus uses to signify reaching the lost, reaching those people that do not know Jesus Christ, reaching people with the gospel of Jesus Christ, reaching people with the message of salvation. And so Jesus is telling us that as we speak, as we share, as we preach, as we testify, as we witness, as we share our faith, there will come a time when we will get a response and people will come to experience the salvation of Christ. And that's called a harvest. Now, sadly, we don't always get the response or harvest that we want to see. And just as the Bible tells us, not everyone is going to receive the message. The Bible tells us that there will be an interference, that there's an enemy of our soul that we need to be reminded about, that there's an enemy, the devil, that works against us, and that when the gospel is going forth, we'll work to prevent the gospel from getting into those people's ears. The devil is also a deceiver, and so he will deceive many as they are trying to hear the gospel message. We also find that people will sometimes not receive the gospel because they failed to strengthen themselves in their relationship with God. They didn't deepen their roots. For others, sometimes they will fall away because persecution and the temptations and the pressures that they're facing in life will, to them, just seem too much that they will choose not to serve the Lord. And then sin for other people, sometimes it's just simply the cares of this world, the pleasures of this world, that we get ourselves so caught up in the world that we soon fall away and we reject the gospel. However, the Bible also says there will be those who will respond, who will serve the Lord, and those are the people that we're looking for to respond today. You know, sometimes our job, the Bible says, is to plant. Sometimes it's just to water. Sometimes it's to reap the harvest. Obviously, that reaping the harvest is the best part. But friends, there's also other parts where sometimes we're just there to put some water there, just to invest or just to get those beginnings. In Japan, we had Jim Snipe here a few weeks back, and the work that Jim has been doing. And I really sense in my heart that he is a forerunner in Japan, and he is preparing a place for a move of God that will touch the nation of Japan, and that there will be a place for them to go. He's not seeing a lot of the harvest yet, but that harvest will come. But he's one of those ones that is going on before, planting, watering, but there's going to come a place and time of a great harvest. And people need to hear that message, that, you know, we need to get that gospel message out, that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. And you will not enter heaven without Christ. And the Bible tells us in John 14:6, Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, the life. And no one can come to the Father except through me." And that's a message that we really need to get out there. The gospel message really needs to get out there, because God desires no one to perish. God desires no one to go to hell. God desires all people to come to him and to experience eternity with him. And I really believe that we're living in a time period where we will see the greatest harvest this world has ever seen. See, the gospel is spreading around the world faster than ever before. But however, in North America, there's been some stumbling there. There's been some resistance in our own nation, even here in Canada. And it's time that we see that change starting to take place, and we see a move of the Holy Spirit across our communities, across our nation, across our provinces, that all people will hear, and people will give that opportunity to respond to Jesus Christ. And friends, we all have a part to play. There is a move that is on, that God is doing right now, and we have a choice. We have a choice to be part of it, or we have a choice to sit back and just be critical and see all the bad stuff, or we have a choice to say, "I'm getting in on this, and I'm going to be a part of this great harvest." We all have an obligation to be a part of this harvest and reaching people for Jesus Christ. I really do believe that we are in the last days, and that time is short. And so I want to encourage you and just refer to just three basics this morning. So just a short message here about some of those basics of harvest that we need to know about reaching our world for Jesus Christ. So first of all, concerning the harvest, that call to reach people for Christ, that call to preach the gospel, that call to spread the gospel message, that we need to realize that this is the will of God. John 4:34, the passage we started with, "My nourishment comes from doing the will of God who sent me and from finishing his work." See, Jesus is telling that the nourishment and the strength that so often we need ourselves, it comes from doing the will of God. And sometimes, you know, as we go on in life, we find those times when we're weary and we're tired and we don't know what to do, and we just feel a lot of pressure. And Jesus is telling us, listen, if you want some nourishment, if you want to receive some strength, doing the will of God will do that. There's some seats right up here in the front row as well, if you want to take those ones. That's what God is telling us here to do. So there's a nourishment and a strength that comes from doing the will of God. And then Jesus, he goes right into talking about the harvest. And friends, as we start doing the harvest, as we start concentrating on sharing our faith and getting the focus off ourselves and getting it upon other people, you will find there will be a nourishment, and you will find there will be a strength that will come upon you. As Christians, we need to be concerned about reaching our community, reaching our world for Jesus Christ, no matter where we live. And I know we have lots of guests here this morning from various communities here in Alberta. Maybe there's a few from Saskatchewan. But we have a job to reach our world. We have a job to reach those people who are around us, because that's what God calls us to do. And if we don't do that, if we don't get out there and do and share the gospel, there will be many who will go on in life to a lost eternity. And friends, I don't know you. I don't want to be the reason why some people would go to hell because I've kept quiet or I didn't share my faith. We all need to share our faith so that others would know. Romans 10:14 says, "But how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? How can they believe in him if they've never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them?" So we need to be that someone who tells others about the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are not to keep the gospel for ourselves. We are not to make our churches huge Christian clubs. And sadly, sometimes that's exactly what churches are today. They're clubs. Just a place for a group of Christians to get together, and they just kind of have some fun and joy together, and they have no desire to reach out and touch the world. We're to reach out and touch the people around us. Now, this involvement in the harvest is more than just the will of God. It is also the command of God. It is a very important command, as it is given to us as the last words of Jesus before his ascension. And he says to us in Matthew 28:19, "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and the Holy Spirit." So that's a command by Christ himself, that as disciples of Christ, we are to go out and tell the world about Jesus. We are to go out and be a part of that harvest and reaching people with the gospel. It's our job. It's the will of God. It is the command of God to go. God is speaking to all of us and saying, it's time for you to go. And again, this is repeated in the book of Acts as Jesus is talking about the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. The purpose of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit was power. It wasn't just about speaking in tongues. It wasn't just about, you know, getting something that you can bless yourself with. It was about an empowerment that's going to enable you to be that witness for Jesus Christ. And so that's, again, very important. Acts 1:8. "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, through Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth." It is very clear that it is the will of God for every Christian to be involved in the harvest. It is nourishing. It will strengthen you. But we are to go and witness here in St. Paul, here in this county, here in this region, here in this province, here in this nation, and around the world, and proclaim the gospel. The harvest is the will of God. God desires that we all would be saved. God desires each one of us that is in this place here today. You're not here by accident. God has been waiting for you. God has been wanting to speak to you. God wants you to be a part of this harvest, and that as you respond, that you could even be part of a greater harvest that is to come. And so here this morning, for all who are here today, this is a message, a fresh call for you to reach out to the harvest, to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, secondly, in regards to the harvest, reaching people for Christ, Jesus tells us that the harvest is now. It is not something for the distant future, but is for people to respond now. John 4:35, "You know this saying, 4 months between planting and harvest. But I say, wake up and look around. The fields are already ripe for harvest." Jesus tells us that the fields are already ripe for harvest. The time of harvest is now. It's interesting that Jesus is telling us as Christians, he's saying, wake up, wake up. There's a call. I should have brought my shofar up here this morning and blew that shofar that you would understand that that's what he's saying to you. Wake up. It's a call. Wake up. There's a harvest. There's a harvest that's around you. You need to reach out and you need to touch them. And we see it in the natural. But God is saying to us, it also exists in the spiritual. It's time to reach your communities. It's time to get out there and get involved. It's time to wake up from our spiritual slumber. If we've fallen away from God, then let's get back into serving God. If we've grown weary and tired, then let's get back in there, because the Bible is saying that you're going to find nourishment. You're going to find strength as you do the will of God. As you start doing what God calls you to do, the strength is going to come back. The power is going to come back. And you're going to find that nourishment to your soul. It's time to be involved. To wake up from our slumber, because time is of essence. Luke chapter 10:2 says, "These were his instructions to them. Jesus again speaking, and he says, the harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who's in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send more workers into his fields. See, Jesus is telling us it's harvest time. God is speaking to this church and he's telling us, wake up, wake up. It's harvest time. It's harvest time. But we're realizing, oh, but the workers are few. Then he's saying, then pray. Then begin to pray. Begin to fall upon your face. Begin to seek me. Begin to call out to me and say, God, we need help. We need more people to come and help us to get the message out that the harvest might come in. So we're to go out and evangelize. We're to go out and share our faith. We're to go out and pray with people. We're to go out and invite people to church. And as we gather and seek the Lord, God's going to help bring in the harvest. And I really believe that there's a call to this congregation to come together and pray. And we're going to do that again tonight. I'm going to be here from 6:30 to 7:30. If anybody wants to join me, I'm praying for harvest. I'm praying that God would move upon this place. I'm not satisfied with what we have. I believe God wants more. I believe this building is way too small for what God is wanting to do. And I'm praying for that harvest. God is moving upon this church. Friends, I don't know how many more people and how many more stories that you need to hear about how God is drawing people here to help you to realize the Lord is moving in this place. If you can't see that, then something is wrong with you spiritually and you need to repent of your sin. You need to return to the Lord and say, open my eyes, Lord, because I'm missing it. Wake up, the Lord says. Wake up. Wake up, I say over you today, wake up. Wake up. There's a call to wake up this morning and to see what the Lord is doing. It's time for harvest. Let us not sit back and leave it up to others. Let us not sit back and say, you know, if God's doing such a good job of drawing people, we'll just let him do it. We'll just sit back. Friends, that's the best way that you miss the harvest. You want to step in with the Lord. You want to get involved with God. You want to come in agreement with God and say, God, I want to be a part of this harvest. I believe that everybody in this building here today, everybody that may be listening to me by a CD or by listening on the internet, that God is calling out to you today a fresh call to say, wake up. There's a harvest. There's a harvest. There's a harvest. It's waiting to come in, and it will be big, friends. But we got to be responding. Got to be responding. And friends, if you're out there and you've been sharing your faith and you've been telling people about Christ and they're just constantly saying no, 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 find some new friends. Find some new people to start sharing with. It's time that you move on to somebody else and start working on somebody else and start sharing your faith. You might have been sharing with a person for 20 years and I don't think you should stop praying for them. But sometimes we need to move on, start focusing on some other people that are ready to receive, that are ready to respond and hear the gospel. The response to this gospel is so very important that Jesus speaks a parable in Luke chapter 14, 21 to 23. And Jesus was talking about how that call has been gone out and how that people were responding, but then they're saying, well, there's not enough responding, God. There's a lot of people that have been invited, and they've said no. And so listen to what Jesus says when he's encountering those people that say no. And he gives this story. He says, a servant returned, and he told his master what they had said. They had all their excuses of why they couldn't respond to this call. And the Bible says, the master was furious and said, go quickly to the streets and alleys of the town. Invite the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. And after the servant had done this, he reported, there's still room for more. And so his master said, go out into the country lanes and behind the hedges and urge anyone you find to come so that my house will be full. Friends, that's how we're to go at the gospel. That if there's people that aren't responding, people don't want it, they just keep giving excuse after excuse after excuse. Start calling in the blind and the lame. Start going in the alleyways. We got a number of people that are in our alleyways in this community. Let me tell you, Jesus loves them. Jesus cares about them. Jesus desires to reach them. Don't be scared of them. Go and share faith with them. Go put some love on them. Go out in those alleyways and begin to preach the gospel. Begin to share the gospel. Be the gospel. Love on some people. And then if you're You get all those people, then start going out in the country. Start going out in areas you've never been before and just start sharing and bidding and urging people to come. The Bible says we are to compel. We are to urge them. That's really giving a strong effort that they might come in and respond to the gospel message. See, this parable is reminding us that time is short. Time is short. Time is short. And that's why there's a call that's going out. And Jesus is saying to you, wake up. Wake up. You've been sleeping. You haven't been seeing what's been happening around you in the spiritual realms. You've been sleeping. You're not paying attention to what I'm doing and what is happening in this world. I am coming. The Lord soon. There will be a shout. It'll be a shout of the archangel. There'll be the trumpet call of God, and the Lord himself shall descend upon the earth. That day is coming soon. So he's saying there's an urgency. There's a banquet that's about to happen. And he's calling in that harvest. The harvest needs to be taken seriously. We are to compel people, urge them to be persistent. God wants his house to be full. God wants this house, this church, to be full. Everyone is needed. Harvest time is now. Now is the time to be involved in the harvest and working to get the harvest in. This is the best time in your life that you can be part of this harvest that God is wanting to do upon this world. Lastly, in regards to this harvest, reaching for people for Christ is a joyous experience. John 4, 36, 38. The harvesters are paid good wages, and the fruit they harvest is people brought to eternal life. What joy awaits both the planter and the harvester alike. You know this saying, one plants and another harvests, and it's true. I sent you to harvest where you didn't plant. Others have already done their work, and now you will get to gather the harvest. Friend, the best wage that you can get, the best fruit that you can experience in your Christian walk is to see people coming to Jesus Christ. There's nothing more exciting than seeing people come to the Lord. And when that person is a spouse or a family member or a friend, it's even that much more exciting. It just stirs you up even more when we see that. We need to be praying for those that are here in this place that their spouse doesn't know Jesus yet. We need to be praying for those that have kids, and those kids are not serving the Lord. We need to be praying for them. We need to be coming into agreement and praying with one another that there's going to be a harvest, that these people are going to respond, that your aunts and your uncles, and as you go out into extended family, God desires everyone to be saved, to come to that knowledge of Jesus Christ. Now, we know that is all true. So we need to ask ourselves that question. Why do we hesitate to be involved in the harvest? I realize, yes, we will not reach everybody. Some people will reject the gospel. But if we keep at it, there will be a greater harvest than what we've ever seen before. You know, there's another parable. It's the parable of the seeds, which represented the gospel being planted in a field. And there was various responses, again, of how the seed took root or didn't take root. However, over it all, Jesus makes the point that when that harvest is put in, there's still a much greater harvest that results. Even though there may be some weeds, even though some of it just, you know, some of that seed goes on a rock, there's lots of seed that goes on good soil. And in Mark 4, he tells us that there can be a multiplied response to that seed. Mark 4, 20, and the seed that fell on good soil represents those who hear and accept God's word and produce a harvest of 30, 60, or even 100 times as much has been planted. Friends, we are in a season where the 100 times of what was planted is going to come to pass. Remember, friends, there had been already an individual in our church that has been setting aside money and has been personally giving and telling us, Pastor, board, you need to know this. There's a harvest that's coming. And I know it's coming, and there's going to be many needs in that harvest, so I want to start giving money towards that. There's a harvest coming. How much more do we need to hear? How much more do we need to see? The Bible says, wake up. Wake up. There's a harvest for you. There's a harvest for you. It is at your door. and you have work to do to go in that harvest field. Many people have planted the seeds of the gospel before any of us here. Just in this church alone, seeds were planted 75 years ago. Friends, I want you to know something. We're going to reap a harvest where we haven't even sown. Because others have done that for us. Other people have gone on before us and they've sown and they've worked and they've tarried. They didn't see the big harvest. But I want to tell you something. They'll see it in heaven. They're going to see a response because they've been working it all their lives and they didn't see the promise of what God spoke over them. I believe we're going to see it. We're going to be the ones that are going to see that big harvest coming in. It's not going to be just because of us, but many people have gone on before us that have sown, that have placed seed, and that seed is being called forth to arise. Friends, we have a role to play, whether it's been in the past or whether it is the present, to reach our world for Jesus Christ. And as we do that, there's going to be great rejoicing here and in heaven. And it tells us that even the angels rejoice in heaven for every sinner that comes to Christ. That's something we need to remind ourselves about. You need to be excited about it. You need to be excited that people would come to Christ. The Bible says heaven rejoices. The angels rejoice. Sometimes we can be so asleep that we see people coming to Christ and we do nothing. It doesn't even stir us anymore. And that's why the Lord says, wake up. Wake up. There's a call over this church, friend. Wake up. Wake up and see what I am doing. Wake up and see that there's a harvest that is at your door. You need to respond. You need to reach out and touch others for Christ. This morning we have many Aboriginal folks here today. And I want to tell you something today. I really believe that God is wanting to move among our Aboriginal people. I know that there's been things that have been done to them. I know that the gospel has been misrepresented before them. It wasn't Jesus. It wasn't the true God that they were representing then. But I'm telling you that he's coming again. And he's reaching out to our Aboriginal people. And there's going to be a great move of God amongst our Aboriginal people. There's going to be a great response to them. Because the Lord loves them. They are a chosen people. They really are. God does care about them. God does love them. God is reaching out to them. There's going to be a great harvest. And we live in a community where we're surrounded by Aboriginal people. And let me tell you something. The gospel is going to get them. The gospel is going to touch them. And let me tell you, they're going to make us look so small in comparison. Because God's going to move in such great ways upon them, friends. The harvest is here. God's saying, wake up. Wake up. Wake up. What does he have to do? What does he have to show you that harvest is there? What does he have to do to show that, hey, it's time for you to, you know, get back to serving God. It's time for you to get back into the service for God. Because there's a harvest to come. There's a harvest to come. So friends, this morning, this is our wake-up call. That time is now. The harvest is the will of God. It's also a command of God. The harvest is now. The time to work is now. But we can't do the harvest without workers. And so the Bible says, if you don't have the workers, then you better start praying. Friends, we can be doing that tonight. Start praying for the harvest. Start praying that new people would come that would help us to harvest. Maybe you're here today and you're new in this church. Maybe you're to be a part of that. Maybe you're here that God has appointed you to say, I want you to start helping these people here to be a part of that harvest that God wants to bring in this area. That harvest is joyous. I'm telling you, there's no greater joy than to see people come to Christ. There's no greater joy to see people encountering Christ. You know, it's an occasion where heaven stops and celebrates. You read in the Bible and it tells us that praise is happening 24/7. But then it tells us that when one person repents, one person turns their life to God, heaven stops and they start rejoicing. That's pretty powerful. That's pretty powerful. We need to be doing that too. To stop what we're doing and say, hey, let's hold on here a minute. God's doing something. Let's celebrate. Let's rejoice. Now this morning, we got a wedding here. It's going to happen just in a few more minutes. And we've talked about how this harvest is joyous. There's this young couple that have started coming to our church for a couple months here. James and Ashley. Very precious couple. Beautiful couple. And they want to make things right in their life. And they said, could we do that today? Remember I told you a story about another couple that did the same thing that had attended here. They were from Bonneville. And then they started attending Bonneville Church and did the same thing. They just waited on the Sunday morning service, end of the service. They got married, and that's where I had to slip out one day to be up to the end of that one. Well, that kind of inspired this couple. And so this couple today says, we want to honor the Lord today and be married in church today on a Sunday. You know, that's part of the harvest. That's part of the harvest. God's bringing people back. God's bringing people back. God's wanting to minister to people. He's wanting to draw us all. See, God wants us all to have a part. I don't know what your past is. I don't know what has happened in your life. Maybe some bad things have happened to you. Sometimes because of the gospel and the misrepresentation of the gospel, people are hurt. People are offended. And let me tell you something. There's still a true God. And He's the good Father. He's the good Father. Please don't focus on the misrepresentation of the gospel. Focus on what the Word of God tells you. And He says, you are a chosen people. You are a people that are called by God. You are a people that are loved by God. You are a people that the Father loves and that He's given His Son for you. That you would not perish, but that you would have everlasting life. That's the true God. That's our true Father. And so here this morning, we're just going to kind of end this service. If you can just give us a couple minutes.